Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening. I'm delighted you chose to come back again today, giving me a half an hour of your life and time. That honors me. It just blesses me. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. This is the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. Yep, you heard it. I am committed to love as the one and highest pursuit of the human condition. I don't think there's anything more important. In fact, I think we ought to spend all the rest of our lives unpacking, learning, discovering, trying on different sizes, different shoes, if you will, of walking out this life of love. I love the subject of love. How's that? Thanks for being here. I'm on a subject I started last week. I'm on part two of the curriculum, the School of Love. I'm starting to develop that. I mean, in real tangible form. I'm working on a School of Love. I'm working on a curriculum for the School of Love, and you guessed it, it'll be overall titled Alive to Love. I do believe that there is no greater pursuit in the human experience than the pursuit of love. I'm a great science buff. I believe in space exploration. I believe in the grandeur of NASA and SpaceX and all the other outreaches of the exploration of space. They are fantastic. It makes all of my little boy engines fire with every kind of curiosity. I do love looking at the night sky when the skies will allow it. I love reading about the explorations of NASA and SpaceX. But I got to tell you, no matter how grand and expansive those kinds of scientific explorations are, there's nothing more grand, nothing more expansive than the expansive reach of the understanding of the subject and of the grandeur of love. Last week I started on this 8 developments of the curriculum of the School of Love in our life. And I started last week's broadcast. If you weren't there, I'm going to review just a little bit here. I don't want to take too much time. That I am the professor in this School of Love. I'm calling you to attention, if you will. I'm standing at the front of the class with my, here, this will date me. I've got a chunk of chalk in my hand. I've got a chalkboard behind me. I'm going to fill that chalkboard with information. I want you to take notes. I want you to sit up straight in your desk. You know, there again, that dates me. I want you to find a piece of paper and a pencil. I want you to open your textbooks and to be ready to just dive into the deep end of this. You know, somebody once said, oh, be careful, you're going to dive in the deep end. And to that I say, wait. So you want me to dive in the shallow end of something? Isn't the shallow end where if you dive, you're going to break your neck, you're going to hit the bottom, and you're going to hurt yourself? I'd rather dive in the deep end and struggle to get my head above water than to dive in the shallow end and injure myself. So come on, join me if you will. Come on, I just dare you. Let's go on this safari, this exploration of the subject of love, the most grand and most beautiful, expansive knowledge base of the human experience, and that is love. I told you last week, and I want to review that we are in a development of the curriculum of love. I want to remind you, too, of my own journey here. I am in a journey. You know, when I talk about love, some people will hear me say something or see me do something that they'll say, wait, I thought you were alive to love. You just did something unloving. That wasn't the most loving thing you could have done. And I am quick to say, you're right. But you know what? I'm a human on a journey. I have not arrived. I have not finished my journey of this discovery of love. I'm still in this classroom. I'm still discovering parts of me I didn't know were there. I'm discovering that there's stuff in me, like we said last week. There's still love wounded in me, and that wounded love in me is causing negativity. It's causing something to come out of me that I don't want coming out of me. I got to get that love healed rather than wounded. So I'm never, ever in a place where I want people to think that I've got it all figured out. But I do want people to know that I am seeking to figure it out. I hadn't got it all, as Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies used to say. I haven't got it all ciphered out, but I am seeking to cipher this out. I want to get to the point. So on that note, let's get to the point. Here are the 8 steps in a curriculum of a lifetime pursuit of love. And that is, 1, remember that we are each one inherently carrying love inside of us. We're created in the image of God. And you know what? God is love. Since we're created in the image of God, we're created in the image of love. Love is stamped in our DNA. You can't escape it. It can be distorted, it can be wounded, it can be beat up, and there can be a variety of layers thrown on top of it. But down underneath anything that's negative, there is still the image of love in every human being. I don't care who they are. I don't care what negative or bad or hateful thing they've done. Anything they have done outside of love is outside their original image, the stamp of God on their life. So it's important for each of us to stay on the curriculum of love, so that based on the image of God in us of love, that we continue to discover, to find what it is that I am naturally born to do in this world. So that means, second of all, pay attention to, secondly, early revelation of love. It's the earliest revelations of love in our life that matter for all of our life. Scientists and researchers tell us that in education, every child between the moment they're born and they're about 4 or 5 years of age, those earliest days are the most developmental. All right, I got it out. it got stuck there on between my tongue and my teeth and my lips. Developmental stages of those early days as a child. We learn love. We learn love in the best of ways, and unfortunately, some of the worst ways. And we're going to work with that for the rest of our life. But hopefully everybody outside of the age you are in, everybody has some early revelation of love. That early discovery of a job you loved, the early discovery of a person you fell in love with, or they fell in love with you. Those early discoveries of your heroes early in life. That person that stands out to you as what a magnificent human being, and you spent your life saying, oh, they just taught me love, and it inspired and ignited love inside of me. That's early revelation. And it's not just as a young person we should expect early revelation. We should expect early revelations of love for all the days of our life. All of the days of our life. We are the potential recipient of an early revelation of love. So third of all, to recognize we can become the carrier of early revelation of love all the days of our life. Never stop searching for the most creative and unique expressions you can find to be a carrier, to give someone else an early understanding of love in their life, so that maybe you'll become somebody's hero. That's not the goal, but maybe out of your pursuit to be a surprise love, a surprise of love in someone else's life. You know, it can be just as simple as giving somebody else your place in line while you're waiting for something, or it can be just as complex as rescuing somebody from a bullying situation, or rescuing somebody who can't pay a bill at a grocery store line and they're scratching for money in their wallet or purse, and you step up and you say, hey, wait a second, let me help out. That's what I mean. Be the carrier of an early revelation of love for somebody. 4, this is where we concluded last week, and it will launch me forward into the rest of today's No BS Bishop. It is to recognize that in all of our experiences, love gets wounded. Love is attacked. Love, you know, it, love that is love is something that's right out there for all to see. And, you know, and if it's out there for all to see, it can also be easily hit with rocks, and a sniper bullet can come at it. The sniper bullet of rejection, the rock of criticism and cruelty comes at our love, and love that is love is out there and is easily smacked into. It's easily found. It's an easy target, really. You know, it honestly, I've discovered in my life that love and being loving makes me an easy target. And so all of my life, all of your life, you're going to be working on in the curriculum of the development of love, and in the school of love, all of your life, you are on notice that love in you and around you and happening to you, love is being wounded. Now, what are you going to do with it? What will you do with the wounds of your love? Well, first of all, it's, I don't know how to say it any more complex or simple, and that is forgive. To forgive does not make the person or the event right, doesn't make what happened to you justified, because it can be completely unjustified, the attack. But when you forgive, you aren't getting that other person or event off the hook, you're getting yourself off the hook. You're removing yourself from the need for vengeance. You're removing yourself from the need to get back. You're removing yourself from the injury of that moment into what is the next phase here. And that's number 5. Get yourself in love rehab, rehabilitation. When our body is physically injured, and the more severe the injury, the more need for rehabilitation there is. But I'm discovering as I age that almost any kind of injury, small or great, requires some rehabilitation. To take it easy on the injury. Don't re-injure yourself when you have specifically been bruised, when you've been specifically broken. Go easy on that injury. Here's a great illustration, just pops in my head. When I was in junior high, I had my left leg in a full leg cast. It was there for 6 weeks. I was not fully aware of what was going to happen at the end of those 6 weeks. And unfortunately, the doctor wasn't really that detailed in telling me what to expect. But when that cast came off and I saw my poor depleted left leg, it shocked me. And then I just thought, well, I'm going to get off of this table right now. And I threw my leg off the table. And the pain of that leg bending for the first time in 6 weeks was excruciating. As soon as I landed on the floor, I passed out. I went out like a box of rocks. My childish, immature approach to that injury was to get right back on it. Let's jump off this table and get on that leg and let's get moving now. And that was the wrong move. I believe the same is true, maybe more so, for emotions and for something just as important as love in all of our lives. Get yourself in a love rehab. Now, let me be eminently practical on a couple of points before I carry this forward. I'm almost 50 years of ministry and pastoral counseling in my life. I have seen entirely too many people who, after a divorce or a nasty breakup with a love interest, that almost immediately after that, they are in the pursuit of another love interest. That, I believe, is a critical mistake. I am convinced that to run for another partnership too fast, yes, I know there can be exceptions, and yeah, I've heard and seen a few of those exceptions, but as a general rule, to run back into a relationship too fast is a mistake. When you have been injured in love, you need to give yourself a solid season of life and time to heal, to get in rehab, to talk to a counselor, to talk to good, trusted friends, to listen to the voices of people around you that love. Give your ear to them. Don't refuse the information and the protection that people want to give you to get you away from the injury and toward something healthy. A love rehab looks like honesty with people who are honestly loving you back. So in the injury, number four, make sure you get into a love rehab. So here we are. Here's the five steps we've just covered. We are each created in the image of God. We are each in a discovery of early revelation from our childhood. Number three, then we can become carriers of an early revelation for others to know what love is. Then number four, we each need to work with and deal with and look squarely at our woundedness in love. And number five, make sure you keep yourself in love rehab. You know, I'm going to add this. In your love rehabilitation, maybe all your life should be spent in some rehabilitation of your love's wounded, because you're going to carry that for a long time. Trust me, you're going to carry some of the scars of love wounded your whole life. So keep yourself accountable. And number six, now let's get toward a more positive upreach, shall we? Look for love abounding. Look for yourself to be an abounding source, a fountain of love. Be an artist. Be a sculptor. Be a painter, a photographer, a virtuoso. Practice words that are expressing love in the most abounding kind of way. Be love abounding. I wish I had adequate time here to really speak to this, but it's the ideal, and maybe it's idealism. You know, you'll have to forgive me. I am an idealist. The ideal that love is that one most gorgeous subject, that one most magnificent mountain to climb, that it ought to be an abounding subject, an abounding expression, an abounding beauty, that no matter what, who, where, or when, love for you, for me, is an abounding subject. It's an abounding practice, an abounding lifestyle, an abounding vocabulary. You know, I think it's important to discover new words for expressing your love. I think it's important to, crack open a dictionary or a thesaurus and explore. How could I say that better? How can I get that more expressive to people around me? Love abounding. You know, I've met a few people in my life who I thought, goodness gracious, if I can love just half as much as they do, then I'll be satisfied. I'm hoping somebody's looking at me saying, man, if I could just love a little bit like Randy Dean, it'll inspire me toward a better life. That's what I'm talking about. A love that abounds, that no matter what its injuries were, no matter what its woundedness was, no matter what its experiences have been, the love just keeps abounding in that person's life. Number seven, we're coming in on the landing of this plane of the curriculum, development of the curriculum in the school of love. Number seven, look for the maturity of your love. Look for the square footing. That's the word I want. The square footing of standing in the maturity of love. You know, the first part of all of this is that we're created in the image of God. And in the image of God, we're created in the image of love. Now, with that image of love through all of these phases, and we're climbing this ladder in the curriculum of love, there has to be a point that we're aimed at maturity. That in the maturity, I'm going to be a professor. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a model. I'm going to courageously say to people, watch me. Watch me love. I may not do it perfectly, but at least I'm going to give you some way to model, or to follow me and to model what I'm trying to say to you with more than words. The maturity of love is the sturdy steadiness of a person who you just know. You know when you're around that person, that's love. when that person arrives at your doorstep, you know, oh, there's love. Love just came to the house. When you hear that person's voice, you say, oh, that's love talking over there. When the caller ID on your phone identifies somebody that they're calling you, you go, oh, yes, that's love. Now, you know, flip that coin. We all know what it's like, right? When you look at your phone and you see the caller ID and it's somebody you just don't want to talk to. Oh, yeah, yeah. We've all got that person in our life. You just think, oh, gosh, no, not now. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? Let's turn that around. Let's make that our caller ID is when my voice or my name or phone number shows up on somebody's phone screen. They say, "Oh, that's love calling me right now." Let's aim for that, shall we? The maturity of love is the maturity of somebody's life experiences. Now, you know, it's very possible somebody could arrive at this young. I haven't met many. In fact, I know it wasn't true in my life. My love has not matured until just the last, maybe the last 10 years. I'm 67. I can honestly say I've looked back and recognized that my love has been immature for far too long. So it is possible someone has stayed on the course of love long enough, early enough, that maybe as a young person they're carrying it. But routinely, though, it's more present in somebody whose life experience is seasoned and been matured by just life itself. And they're standing and having done all, they are standing through the thick and through the thin. I always think of this when I do weddings and I read the vows and I read the commitments and I tell couples, I say, I when I get to the vows and the repetition of what they need to say, I say, pay careful heed to the vows and the promises you are about to make. When I say that, I slow it down. I always say, pay careful heed, give attention. And in fact, in the rehearsals, I tell couples, hold each other's hands, look each other in the eye and say these words. I want it imprinted because I am looking for them to discover the maturity of love. And last but not least, I've been looking forward to discuss this last one. I believe that there is such a thing as a Sabbath of love. You know, the creation story tells us that on the seventh day, God rested from all his labors. You know, God wasn't tired. God wasn't worn out and saying, whew, I need to sleep in today. God wasn't in any kind of duress, physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally. God simply set a pattern for how human existence should walk, that we all need a Sabbath routinely. I believe if the image of God in us, where we started with all of this, it's inherent to the human experience to have love. I'm also convinced that we need a Sabbath of love, and that is that it is less labor and more rest. It is less of an ongoing labor and more of a settledness. I love, therefore I am. I love, therefore I am. That I'm not in the school of love. I'm not in a constant spin to make sure that I'm working at it. Yes, I need to work at it. Don't misunderstand me. Yes, on 6 days I should labor on it, but on the seventh, and I mean that metaphorically, there should be a season where I just rest, that I give it some space to settle. This is true of cooking. You know, when you cook a meal, some of the best meals need to rest for a few minutes before they're served to the recipients. I'm not much of a cook or a chef, but I am. I love barbecuing. I love to get steaks on the grill. I love the preparation of the steaks and marinating them. I love getting them tenderized and ready, and then I love getting them on the grill. Then I love remembering, just calling myself to memory. In fact, it works most for me because I am the cook, the barbecue-e or of the meat. You got to let that meat rest after it comes off the grill so that all of the flavors, the moisture, all the beauty of what you've just worked so hard on for a few days, it gets soaked in. Listen to this carefully. in all the curriculum of love and all of the labors that we do, and I've given you 8 steps here for the last 2 weeks, in all of it, that we're created in the image of God. We all have early revelations of love. We're all potential carriers of love. We're all experienced in the woundedness of love. We all need to be in the rehab of love. We all need to expect love abounding, that we all can arrive at the maturity of love. And last but not least, 8, we should all aim at a love Sabbath, to rest, to chill, to give peace of mind and heart, to settle yourself with the ideal, and maybe it's idealism again, the idealism that I've put myself through this school of love. Now I need to let this settle in and become savored into my existence. I'm running out of time, so I want to close as I do every No BS Bishop. And that is, I think this is so vital. You know, we're talking about a love Sabbath. I think it's important for us to experience every day some Sabbath, even if it is to stop everything. Turn off the radio, the TV, your tablet, your computer, your phone. Put it away. Put it down for just a few minutes and Sabbath yourself and breathe. You know, you can't live without breathing. So try it with me right now. Take a deep breath, pull it all the way down to the bottom of your lungs and hold it there for just a few seconds. Here we go. Breathe in. Hold. And exhale. Do it one more time. Breathe in. And hold it there. Now exhale it. Now do that off and on through the day. Catch yourself. Lower your blood pressure. Take a little life Sabbath every day. And then practice the expression of the school of love. The most beautiful of the school of love. The simplest of the outworking of the school of love. The most practical homework of the school of love. In this curriculum, make sure every day you find somebody that you can stop them and catch eyes. Just catch a moment. Look them right in the eye. Yeah, it'll feel weird, so go ahead and make it weird. Do it with some propriety. I get that. But make it weird. You know, if it's your child or your spouse or even just a good friend, stop. Look them in the eye. Smile and say, I love you. Those words are magic, aren't they? Those words are magical. They're abounding, especially if they're given with genuine meaning, with a real sense of I'm doing this on purpose. I'm not just accidentally sliding those 3 words out of my mouth. This is right on purpose. I'm telling you, I love you. And you know, people can tell. They know when it's just, you know, you just being you for a moment, but they can also tell when you've given it the full intention of your heart, your mind, and your intellect. So get out there and tell somebody I love you with full intention. And get out there and do something beautiful in this wild, woolly world. Wow, we have been on quite the ride, haven't we? Let's get out there and do something beautiful. Say something beautiful. Be something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's do beautiful all day long in the days ahead. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because all lesser values are potential BS. Thanks for your time today. I am so honored that you chose to be with us. God bless. Go out there with alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.